Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're glad you're here. I'm back here, so let's answer some great Walt Disney World and just Disney trip planning questions in general. We've got a great question from Jennifer about closing times at Disney Springs. How late can you stay out and play? Those questions and more in just a minute. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. One of the best things about this app is that you can renew it each and every trip. I just got back from Walt Disney World a couple of days ago. I've already updated the app for my summer trip. We're down to 66 days to go until we head down for Toy Story Land's opening. I cannot be more excited to be back at Coronado Springs and staying at Yacht Club for the very first time. You can get excited just like I am. Just download this great app. Drop by virtualmickey.com today. You'll see lots of great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device, and you'll be counting down just like me. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do that online shopping, whether you need a new book, some new sneakers, or something for your next vacation, just use our link. It helps support the show. It helps cover some of the bandwidth and hosting costs associated with the podcast and more. And it's very simple. You get all your Prime benefits. Nothing changes for you, but it's an easy way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. So we sure appreciate it when you click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1320 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I am back here in the studio after a great week in Central Florida. Spent some time over at Universal and also had some great times down at Walt Disney World. Lots to talk about with that. We're going to get to that next week when Pam Forrester rejoins us. She's taking a little bit extended vacation. I had to get
home. Can you blame her? She put all of that on with the help of a lot of other great agents. So I think she deserves a little bit of R&R.
I agree. I mean, we had like 30 people in the villa. So we had meetings for one of the days, almost the whole day. So she put on a great event for all the agents down to Magic for Less. We learned lots about the future things coming to Walt Disney World. We toured the resorts. We talked about, we went through some of the Disney Springs Good Neighbor resorts so we could just look and see what they offer. Just lots of cool stuff. We got to do Happily Ever After Wishes. Not Wishes, but Dessert Party. It was awesome. I know. So we'll talk about that when Pam gets back, because I'm sure she has a couple of opinions about Mike at Universal, and so I'm going to save that.
I cannot wait.
I do have to say that I am zestfully clean. I will say that. The best part of the trip to Universal, in my opinion, is the VO5 and the Zest at Cabana Bay.
That's good.
Let me put that down here. All right, so joining us today, we're going to answer your listener questions. Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's up, Ricky?
Oh, I am so excited to hear about your trip. And I know that I was super bummed that I couldn't be there. And seriously, came about this close to getting in the car on Friday night after work and driving down. But I was like, no, Brian would actually kill me. Although he did tell me it would have been okay, but afterwards. But, you guys were absolutely killing me. And I'm, everybody else was having fun and watching Mike be down there. And I was like, no. It was too much fun is being had. Yeah, and I don't get to be there.
I'm just saying that the agents at the Magic for Less, I just have to say, because there were about 29 of us and it was two different. Some of the people stayed for both Universal and Walt Disney World like I did. Probably about half of the folks did both. And then what happened was some people only came to the Universal part for like 3 days. Some folks only came for Walt Disney World due to scheduling. They couldn't get a full week away to come down. But we just had a great time. The agents got along so well. We're such a team. And a lot of the folks are podcast listeners, so we just had a great time. I got to send a shout out to Ben Lappin, one of the agents over at the Magic for Less. Great roommate. I had a terrible headache Sunday night. he came in and called his wife and like was whispering. Like that was going above and beyond. I mean, just such a nice guy. So.
That is nice.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get to the list of questions. This one's coming from Virginia. It's Jennifer. Hello, gang. My husband and I are headed down to Universal on vacation. Wait, what?
Hey, Mike, can answer this now.
She tricked me because the title of the email is Disney Springs Closing Time. Wait, I need to pre-read these things. Anyway, she's going to Universal on vacation at the end of May. Hopefully this trip made might come around to it a little more. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Stand by. Anyway, Sanaa's our favorite restaurant ever, so we plan on heading to Kidani Village to eat there one night and do some shopping and strolling at Disney Springs. Our ADR is at 7:30, and we're trying to decide whether to go to Disney Springs before or after. What time do the shops usually close during the week at the end of May? If it matters, I primarily want to hit the world of Disney Basin and Aaron McKenna's Bakery. Your podcast helps keep this lizard motivated on her runs three times a week. Best, Jennifer. All right, Jennifer, keep up the good running. We love it. Take us with you. I only listen to podcasts when I run, so I'm glad that we can keep you company. All right, Ricky, so
yes.
Kidani Village. I'm thinking about my mouth. Whenever I just say Sanaa, my mouth waters like bread.
You know,
dips.
I think that's actually because Brian and I are going down for Memorial Day weekend, and he's like, we have to go to Sanaa because we haven't been there in a while. So I think I have to make that happen.
Well, it sounds like you need to just hook on with Jennifer's ADR.
I
can
so.
Go, you know, that night at 7:30.
We're joining. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
That's right. Then you'll probably go to Universal too. You guys should just vacation together.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what should she do? 7:30 ADR, go before or after last week of May? It'll be, it's the end of May, so I'm guessing probably Memorial Day weekend.
I'm guessing.
Extended hours,
yeah,
I'm guessing. So
not,
what do you think? So what's your best guess?
So there, unfortunately, Disney Springs has set times for closing pretty much throughout the whole entire year. It doesn't matter what, you know, whether it's spring, summer, winter, or fall. They tend to close at 10 o'clock. During the week and 11 o'clock on weekends. Weekends are only Friday and Saturday, so just keep that in mind. It depends. What time? They had a 7?
7:30. So I'd guess you'd still be at Kidani Village at 9 at least.
Yeah, that would probably be pushing it. So I would say go before.
All right. All right, let's go to a question from the Facebook Live chat. It's from Vicky. Vicky's always with us in the live chat, and we love that. We're live on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. With all the construction going on at Caribbean Beach, which section should we request? We decided to keep our reservation there since we'll spend most of our time at the parks. Never have stayed there before, but couldn't pass up the price. That's a good point, because obviously you can get some great deals at Caribbean Beach. Basically, you're paying the value price for a moderate resort, but you got to remember that a lot of amenities are missing. Now, they're coming back. I heard from some of our agents that have been there over the last couple of weeks. Things are now starting to kind of turn the corner with, you know, being able to dine a little easier at Caribbean Beach. Now, it's still kind of, you know, you see a lot of dirt. You see a lot of cranes, stuff like that. But, Ricky, what would you say? Any suggestions for Vicky at Caribbean Beach at this point? I don't know when she's going.
Well, it does hurt that I have not stayed at Caribbean Beach. Well, I take that back. I apparently stayed there once on a cruise with my mom and dad after or before the cruise, but I don't remember staying there. So I don't know where she should go. However, like you said, it does seem like they are bringing things around a little bit more. They have the Spyglass Grill, which is over by the pool, I believe, that just opened up, and the menu there looks really good. So if you're looking for food, you don't have to eat necessarily out of a tent anymore, which is nice.
That's nice.
You can actually get a meal at a restaurant, so that's helpful. I think that we're going to keep getting things coming back slowly but surely. And, you know, if you're just there to, you know, sleep and shower and stuff like that, like I think that she said she was, I think you're going to be just fine. And you'll have a nice time at the resort.
I would also say just kind of do a little, you know, Google it, because this is something that's fluid. I don't know when your trip is, so that's going to affect, you know.
Oh, they're going in August.
Okay, August. So, yeah, things will definitely change being here in April. You know, things will definitely change. So just kind of Google it and call the resort directly. Maybe 3 to 5 days prior to your reservation, and you can ask for a building that looks like it's clear of the construction. You can easily see in August where they are in the construction. And also, you know, if you want to be near, you know, casual dining, tell them that. Or if you want to be by a pool, tell them that. Don't give them a building number to say, it's important to me that I'm by a bus stop, or it's important to me that I am by dining to get there easily. And they'll do that because you give them some flexibility to meet your, you know, your desires, and it just works out better that way.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next question in the Facebook Live chat from Cliff. He says, just out of unplanned surgery, and I don't want to cancel my upcoming Walt Disney World trip. Any tips on renting a scooter or best resting spots around the world to sit down and recoup? Let's see. Oh, he says hashtag ruptured quad. I was trying to decipher that. Ouch. Okay, so Cliff, good job. Keep going because you need this to help you recuperate. I feel Walt Disney World trip. I'm not a doctor, but I would write a prescription for one if I was. I would say now here's when I work with guests that need scooters at the Magic for Less Travel, I recommend a company called Walker Mobility. Walker Mobility, you can just Google them. You can call them. You can reserve online as well. They will bring those scooters to your resort, pick them up at the end of the trip. And the reason you want to do that as opposed to getting one from the parks is that you'll have it at your resort. And these resorts can be large. If you're at most of the resorts are very large. You have it all the time when you need it. So I would do that. Ricky, what about resting spots? You know, somebody that is trying to take it easy coming off of a surgery, a major surgery, you know, and mobility issues. How would you handle that? Because you got to kind of take it easy and rest up while you're touring the theme parks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the great thing about Walt Disney World is there's so many benches that you can stop at. So that kind of is nice. You know, the one tip I was going to give back to the scooter part is we actually did just have an article on the Mouse for Less called Scoot It or Skip It, Thoughts on Using a Scooter for Your Disney Vacation. That was actually last Friday that we had that article go out. And it was all about why you maybe should get a scooter. And one of the tips that I kind of picked up from the whether or not you should get a scooter, and of course, you know, more or less, they basically said yes. But it was that, you know, just make sure that you do some practice with the scooter and know that, you know, people aren't always the nicest when you have a scooter. You know, like just meaning like
should you drive aggressively or passively?
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, and then they'll walk out in front of you. So just kind of, if you're not used to having a scooter, do some practice work with it, you know, while you're at the resort or whatever to make sure that you kind of have a handle on it. But I think that if you are worried that you may need a scooter, that's something you should absolutely 100% consider getting. You know, and if you've got the scooter, then, you know, you'll have the ability to kind of stop anywhere because you'll have a seat. So that kind of takes care of that part too. So, you know, I think you'll have a great time at Walt Disney World, whether you grab a scooter or not. But I think that if you have any question about it, you should probably get the scooter.
Yeah, I believe so too. And I would say as far as resting spots, you know, think about it. I would look at it as, where is there a moving bench where I can rest? So things like Carousel of Progress shows, yeah. any of the shows, the People Mover, the train, things yes. like that, you know, Living with the Land.
I was thinking about that one. Yeah, definitely Living with the Land was one of them. Maybe Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Yeah.
Cause that's kind of long.
Yeah. Cause so you're long, you're sitting. You know, any of the shows, obviously, I'm trying to think of the studios. Like a Great Movie Ride used to have been a great one, but not so much anymore.
That's the park that kind of kills it. I mean, you could, there's Fantasm. There's Indiana Jones. You could do that.
Yeah. Shows.
So that would be a good spot to, and Beauty and the Beast live on stage. Those shows like
is
that.
Is that still there?
But yeah. There's, Muppet Vision. Yeah, I know.
Beauty and the Beast.
All right. Yeah, Muppet Vision.
Let's get to Daniel's question live from the chat. Are you able to get an adult beverage with your meal with the quick service dining plan when eating at Pop? How does that work, Ricky? Can they get the adult beverage? And what should they get?
They can.
You don't drink.
They can. Yes, that's the great part. You know, surprisingly, they do serve adult beverages in like the coolers and stuff like that at Pop Century. So, you know, while they don't have like beer on tap or anything like that, you're still able to get some sort of adult beverage if you would like. You know, I think obviously beer and wine are probably going to be the easier things to get because I'm pretty sure they have little bottles of wine too.
They do.
So those are going to be the easier options to pick up while you're there. But you also have the option of like then as well of the specialty beverages. So like milkshakes and stuff like that, you're going to be able to get as well with that. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't get a drink. What I would get is that King, I think it's called the King. It's Scott got it there at Pop Century not this past year, but the year before.
The King.
There's a cupcake too, but there's a shake called the King. It's got bacon in it.
Oh,
it's got like candied bacon. Oh, look good. I didn't have that one, but I always have tie-dye cheesecake. All right. Next up is Rhonda Lee. Thanks for joining us today, Rhonda Lee. When do you think the DCL will release early 2020 cruise itinerary? So right now where we stand is we can book through September of 2019 at this point. So the next round will be the remainder of 2019. I'm guessing if, you know, pattern holds. That would probably be in the next, let's say 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. And then probably early 2020 would be in the summer, probably late summer is what I would guess. Now that could be any time. So just guessing here. All right, let's get to the next question from Gretchen. Can you tell me when the room refurbishment at All-Star Movies will be started? Staying in Toy Story section early June and hoping for a refurbished room. Ricky, what's the status? I didn't even know the movies was going through a refurbishment. That's one of the few that I didn't think was.
I didn't know either. So I'm doing some research now as we speak. Because I didn't know that that one was going for a refurbishment either.
So, well, she says she's asking when it'll start. So if it starts, I mean, we're in April and you're going in June, I would say the chances of getting a refurbished room are almost slim to none because it would be getting cracking. And usually, because Toy Story is preferred, right? It movies, I think it is. I think that's a preferred section.
Yeah, I would assume that probably was a preferred room, so just if I had to take a guess.
And I will say that if you go, and again, I'm trying to connect the dots. That's what we do as Disney fans. At Pop Century, when they did the refurbishments, they kind of held off on the preferred section, the 60s, till the end, towards the very end. Like, they started off way at the end and kind of worked in. Remember, they started with the 90s, went to the 80s. So I'm thinking that might be the last
apparently
section.
Apparently, All-Star Movies does say that it has a room refurbishment.
Huh.
And it says through early 2019. But I haven't seen anything from anybody posting, hey, I got a refurbished room at All-Star Movies, so I don't know if they've really started on this at all. So when you get there, I guess ask if you can have a refurbished room. See if they have one available. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing I can suggest. But I probably know. Like, it's probably been listed on the Mouse for Less's, you know, refurbishment page forever because I work on that. And I probably haven't, like, paid attention to the fact that that was actually something that was on there. Because this is last updated March 23rd. The Walt Disney World list was last updated March 23rd. So
what's interesting is
for at least a month. So.
I mean, we were down there and they were walking us through and talking us through all the, you know, resort updates. Like we toured French Quarter. Did you know French Quarter has new rooms? They're sweet.
Yeah,
nice. I didn't even realize French Quarter was going through refurbs. But man, those new rooms are sweet at French Quarter.
I haven't seen a single room from All Star Movies yet. Nobody's posted one.
So we'll
either
do one more
it's
research.
Not that drastic or...
Yeah. We went through Yacht and Beach, saw some stuff there. We saw the French Quarter. We saw Pop Century refurbished room. Obviously, a lot of us had seen that before. I'm trying to think. Yeah. So
Let me do some Googling.
We will. All right. Next, Megan has a comment, and this one's very important, so we got to get in here. I tried the Ooey Gooey Butter Cake at Ample Hills last month since you speak so highly of it, and I am in love. I can't wait to have it again. Yes.
Is that
right? Ricky, do you like the Ooey? You're St. Louis, and do you like the Ooey Gooey Butter Cake ice cream from Ample Hills?
I do. I haven't had it in a while, but I actually really do like it. It's really good, so I am all in for the Ooey Gooey Butter Cake ice cream. I could go for some right now.
Me too.
I'm sad I don't have any.
Let's get to Drew. And this one I was going to kind of save for Friday because we're going to do some, you know, kind of like we did that Ricky and Mike dish the news. We're going to do that again on Friday. But he's asking, right. Hey guys, congrats on the half over the weekend, Mike. Well, thank you. It was awesome. Captain Phasma is mine now. Let's see. Any truth to the rumor of an order being placed for new shiny good smelling monorails? What do you think? I added some little fluff to that, but go ahead, Ricky. What do you think?
I don't know if I believe it yet. I need a little more information. So, that's not to say that it's not happening necessarily, but I just don't know that I believe that it is. So,
negative. You are so negative. I think they're already backstage.
No, definitely not backstage yet. So.
They're wrapping that right now. They're wrapping them with Incredibles 2 wraps.
Yeah, definitely not happening. So, I mean, they may be working on getting new monorails. They absolutely need new monorails. you know, those have had a little bit of a few miles on them, I'll just say. I'm not sure about the rumor yet. So I need more information before I make a final say of, hey, yeah, I think this rumor is actually true.
All right. You know, what I was impressed with, too, when I was down there this past week was how many of the gondola stands,
yes,
you know, the big stands are in.
up.
They're like, everywhere.
Crazy lately.
It's real. Like it's going to happen. Like, I am so pumped about that because, you know, it's like, yeah. I mean, I knew that they were moving forward on. I mean, they were cutting down trees and carving out dirt spots. But, like,
yeah.
Now that you can see the actual stands, like, you can visualize it now. It's going to be so awesome. I am so pumped.
I know. It's kind of crazy because, I mean, I was there, you know, in March, but they really hadn't started a whole lot on the gondolas, so I'm really anxious to see what it looks like at the end of May when I'm down there for Memorial Day weekend.
So. Yeah, so they cut it. Of course, that station for the studios is going to be out there where you kind of, you know, it's hard to describe, but it's where the buses kind of make that churn where they drop people off there,
yeah,
and you kind
yeah,
of go
yeah,
out to
yeah.
the main parking lot. So on that corner there, it's by the lake. In the corner there by that the lagoon, you know, the Crescent Lake extension where the Friendship boat comes.
Yeah.
That's where the station's going to be. But now you can see, like, where the path is. It goes right across the parking lot, out, and towards Caribbean Beach. And
cool.
So, yeah, and they have the stand-in right there next to France that'll come across the body of water coming from the Yacht Beach and Boardwalk over to the station. The station there is obviously by the International Gateway.
Right.
Off to the left as you're looking at the gateway coming from Beach and Yacht. But, yeah, it's exciting because they're getting close, you know, and they're starting to move, which is exciting.
Those are going to more than likely be open in 2019. Like,
absolutely.
I
hope so.
Hopefully.
All right, let's get to Danielle's question. She says, holiday travels to the world. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm a big fan of the podcast and been listening to the podcast since we started planning our first Walt Disney World family vacation. I love having you all bring a little Disney to my day for my evening commutes. Remember, Danielle, 10 and 2. We always tell our listeners when you're commuting, 10 and 2. Keep them on the wheel there. We are planning our first holiday season trip to the world and can't wait to check out all the seasonal happenings. It'll be me, my husband, and our son, who will be 4. We'll be traveling the week of December 9th and staying at Coronado Springs. A few questions I'm hoping you can help us out with. And I can tell you, it's just under a mile to run around Coronado Springs. It was fun. I would like to go to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, but our son doesn't stay up late. I'm not convinced it's worth the cost for the three of us if we can only keep him up until 9, maybe 10, without making him, ourselves, and the world around us miserable. Would it be worth the cost? If not, is Minnie's holiday dinner at Hollywood and Vine a good festive alternative? You know, let me just say, I love Danielle right now because she's thinking about the other people that if her kid is up until midnight and not happy, she's thinking about other people. Thank you. Thank you. From all of us here in the Be Our Guest podcast family.
I'm sure she's also thinking about herself, though, too. I don't want to have to deal with that. So.
No, she's also thinking about all of us. Thank you, because some people don't think about that. Anyway, you know what? I was thinking about, no. If the kid is not normally up till 9, that's going to be a tough sell. And it's expensive. Now, the holiday party's awesome, and it's going to keep going. You know, like, I'm sure you're going to get to go back maybe in 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and that'd be prime time for your son at, like, 8 or 9. I love that she's coming up with alternatives. I was thinking, you know, doing a resort tour of the monorail resorts or doing going over to Fort Wilderness or something. But the Minnie's holiday dinner, Ricky, I think you've done that, haven't you?
I have not. That's one restaurant at Disney. Well, no, actually, I have to take that back. I haven't eaten at a lot of restaurants at Disney Hollywood Studios. But that's one that's not on the radar, let's put it that way, of a place that I want to go to. I don't know. The buffet doesn't excite me. And since I don't have kids, it's, you know, there's not that driving me there. So, but I think in this instance, I think that it's a perfect option because you're going to be able to meet the characters. They're going to be dressed in their holiday garb. You know, it's going to be a great experience, I think, for the family. And I think, let me tell you, Disney's Hollywood Studios last year knocked it out of the park for holiday decorations.
It looked awesome. So, it was so cool.
Seriously, it was honestly, like, I might have enjoyed it a little bit more than the Magic Kingdom this year. I felt like the Magic Kingdom was just lacking a little bit, you know, just because they haven't really done anything new in a while there. So I thought that they really knocked it out of the park. There was a lot of things for guests to experience. The decorations were everywhere in the park. So I very much enjoyed the holidays at the Hollywood Studios. Like, it was hard. That was a tongue twister right there. So, I think that you're gonna have a really good time, and make sure to catch that show that takes place on the Sunset Seasons Greetings. I'm sure it's coming back. Which takes place on the Tower of Terror. So you're going to love it. It's fantastic.
You are such a Slytherin because you have no magic and you don't want to go to the Magic Kingdom and you're offering people away over the studios.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm terrible.
Isn't that the folks who don't have magic? Because they're one of the teams, right? Slytherin? No?
Yeah. No, maybe. Well, they have magic, but they're...
I thought that's what somebody that doesn't have magic's called. They were called...
No, that's a muggle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
I still don't know any of these things. I'm impressed that you tried.
I saw it on a shirt. So I was paying attention.
I'm impressed that you tried. Yeah, I mean, I really did. I honestly thought that the Magic Kingdom was one of the lacking parks last year with the holidays. So I thought Epcot and Hollywood Studios knocked it out.
All right. So what I would say, too, is, maybe the storytellers at Epcot, go around World Showcase, because that'd be something during the day. That's a cool Christmas activity that's during the day. Kids awake,
and
having fun.
They can.
All right. She has another question. We haven't been to a fireworks show at Hollywood Studios in the past. How difficult is it to find a good spot for jingle bells jingle?
I got this.
You're not paying attention.
Bam.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It took a little while. Should we consider the dessert party? Note that my hubby isn't a big dessert fan, and while the little guy would eat all the desserts he could stomach, I'm not about to let that happen. She should have been there with me for the happily ever after dessert party. I was cramming those things in my mouth, my ear. I was making sure Pam got her money's worth. Let's see. So she also says, is it worth the money? So they want to see Jingle Bells, Jingle Bam, but do they ensure a good spot by buying the dessert party, even though they're not big dessert eaters, or do you just invest a little bit of time? What do you say?
So I'm going to say invest a little bit of time. If you're not big dessert eaters, Brian is not a big dessert eater either, so I tend to not pay for the dessert parties because of that. However, I can tell you from personal experience, I saw Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam on Christmas Day and did not have a problem getting a spot. So if you get there early, you didn't even have to get there super early. I got there maybe a half hour early. And the best thing about Hollywood Studios is they have the pre-show show that takes place, which is the Disney Movie Magic Show. So you're really only spending 15 minutes of waiting time because you've got that build-up time of the 5-minute show there too. So you definitely, half an hour should be fine. You're going to want to be, there's those two they're the projection towers, but they're decorated like buildings. You're going to want to be forward of those to be able to have a good spot where you can see everything very well and you can see the fireworks. I got there half an hour early. It was plenty of time. Matter of fact, actually, I had breathing room because everybody was behind me. They were all packed down Hollywood Boulevard, and so they were all packed like sardines back there, and I had plenty of room. So I would absolutely suggest making sure you get there half an hour early and getting in that spot.
Yeah, just kind of scope it out, just kind of stalk. Like if people are starting to really crowd, jump in. Here's a great hack. If you want, have somebody hold your spot because, for three people, you're not holding the spot for a Brazilian tour group. You're holding the place for two other people. If somebody, one other person, if somebody makes a run, have somebody go run and get a fun, holiday snack. Or I always have.
That is exactly what Brian did.
That's what I do. I have Paige go get me a peanut butter and jelly milkshake from 50s Prime, from Tune In Lounge, okay, boom. And then, a dessert party for no money. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right. I mean, you got to pay a little bit, but
it's better than paying.
Yeah, Brian went, got himself a beer, didn't bring me back anything, and thanks.
It's even cheaper when you don't buy your significant other anything. There you go.
I know, right? Yeah.
All right. She says, anything else that we need to be sure to check out for the holidays? Anything particularly fun or for an adventurous 4-year-old boy? Thanks so much for all you do and share the magic with us each week. Appreciate all your time and hard work. Danielle's in Durham, North Carolina, 504 miles from Pam, 393 from Ricky, and 815 from here. All right. So, I mentioned the storytellers in Epcot. I think they would enjoy that. Yeah. Candlelight processional. Now, he's 4 years old. He probably isn't going to have the time for that. Yeah. That's something, though, that you would totally enjoy. Also, off the, that Pirate Adventure in Adventureland. I think that's kind of fun for boys, but maybe in a couple years. Anything else you can think of?
I think you can always do, the tours of the resorts, but again, you got a 4-year-old, so I don't think necessarily they might get bored with that a little bit. I think we got some good planning going there. I think that's some good planning.
All right, into the Facebook group. Jennifer's up next. I've been helping her today with some trips. That's awesome. I love that. Thanks for your support. Hey, favorite podcasters, I'm headed to the world in 3 weeks and have reservations for the happily ever after dessert party with garden viewing. I know somebody else who had garden viewing for a happily ever after dessert party. Anyway, what time should I get there without getting there too early? Thanks. Jennifer. All right, so I just did this on Friday night, I think. And I will say that we got there 15 to 20 minutes prior to the time they admitted folks. Now, I will tell you, this is time, even though it's a dessert party and it's like an exclusive event, there were quite a few people in the Tomorrowland Terrace scooping out the desserts. I mean, people want their desserts. You're paying good money for your desserts.
Right.
People are going at it like it's their last meal. And I was one of them. So I can't argue. You put your finger in front of like one of those chocolate covered Oreo cookie Mickeys. I was like, you know, look out. So, yeah, get there early because you're going to want to scope out your seat. Of course, you're not sitting there for the fireworks. You can go to the garden. But you want to just get, you know, a comfortable seat, and you want to be up through the, you want to make your first pass through like the dessert buffet right. early so that that way when the masses are going through, you're eating, and then you can go through your second and your third and your fourth and your seventh pass later when everybody else is sitting down. So I would get there about 20 minutes before it, you know, you can get in. So that's how we do that. All right, so let's see here. Trying to see if any other good ones here in the Facebook. Let's see here. Let's see here. Let's go to, sorry, I lost my spot. I hate when that happens.
That's the worst.
All right, we're going to Nick. He says, hi, guys. Wanted to say how much I appreciate the show. It really brightens my week. I started listening when I was in middle school. What? Took a long break as a high school and college got in the way, but was happy to discover that Be Our Guest is still going strong now that I'm out of college.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Thank
Whoa.
You.
Whoa.
I'm old.
Whoa.
And so are you, Ricky, because you've been doing it with me.
I feel old now. Thanks.
he says, I'm taking an unusual trip to Orlando from a Thursday to a Sunday at the end of June. My 16-year-old cousin is there for a girls' volleyball showcase at ESPN. My grandparents, who are in their 70s, can walk, but not for a long time, are chaperoning her and asked me to come along. I live in Southern California, so I'm used to Disneyland, but grew up with my heart in Disney World. I haven't been for 6 years. Here's the devastating part. This will be a no-park trip. This kills me. But I'll be happy to at least be at Disney World. We're staying at the Town Place Suites close to the Animal Kingdom on the edge of property. My question is, what should we do? Now, I love to explore resorts, something I've never gotten to do on previous trips. What are some of the best resorts for a nice, easy stroll? Best resort restaurants to eat at? Also, what would parking look like for a resort hopping kind of day? What would be good activities or things to visit outside the resort that cater to older folk like my grandparents? Thanks so much, guys. Nick. All right, Ricky. So, you know, I think this one's right up your alley, too. Not that you don't do parks, but you tend to stay offsite, like our friend Nick is here. And sometimes, you know, like if you're in between annual passes and stuff, you have been looking for things to entertain yourself, which you can definitely do outside of the park. So what do you say to Nick?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I was going to suggest is make sure you do the loop around the beach club, boardwalk, you know, area. I think that that's going to be a fantastic loop, especially because there are things to do like Ample Hills or, you know, ESPN. Or, of course, you can always then go. You can do the ice cream crawl there. Like, go to Ample Hills, then go over to the fountain, then go over to Beaches and Cream. Yes. I think that's a great day, right?
Then go to visit Celebration Hospital because you're going to die.
I would split the ice cream amongst the group, but I think that that's a great call right there. You can also do, of course, the monorail loop as well. And definitely want to make sure that you go over to Wilderness Lodge. I think that that would be a fantastic spot to go relax, enjoy a nice afternoon, you know, kind of thing. And of course, you want to go to Disney Springs. I think that that's going to be a good call there, too.
Can I say how much Geyser Point adds to the Wilderness Lodge?
You've really eaten there, haven't you, Ricky?
Yeah.
It really does. They still don't have umbrellas, I hear.
No, they
by
don't.
The way.
But no, it didn't matter because both times I ate my lunch from a couch.
Oh. See, I feel like when I went, it was just too busy because it had just opened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I need to go back now that it's lost. It's not luster, but, you know, it's excitement that it had at the time when I went. So.
And George, our good buddy from Hawaii that's in the Facebook live chat with us, says he likes the old monorails because he likes the danger.
Of course. He
would. That's funny. That's right. I can't say that, but that's funny.
No, I like Ashley's suggestion, though, in the chat of Hoop-dee-doo. I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because everybody loves Hoop-dee-doo. I think older folks really like that because it's got that just taste of nostalgia, just like Zest soap and VO5 shampoo.
I think that's a good call.
It is. All right, Brian is up next. Do you think with all the new ride construction going on around the parks, this is adding to unexpected daily ride breakdowns from the existing rides, possibly not getting regular maintenance and those resources going to the new construction? Noticed a bunch of unexpected closures during our past few trips. That's a good point that I've never thought of. I didn't really notice this when I was down there for the last few days. There really wasn't much down, really. I mean, because the crowds weren't as heavy as like in the summer, so I guess there wasn't quite the demand that I usually see. But I didn't see it, but that makes sense. Ricky, what are your thoughts on that? It does make sense.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about ride closures lately, of things that are going down. And I think, like, I heard Len kind of talking about it, about how, like, they may be running things a little too much. They're not giving them necessarily time to breathe, you know, because they're constantly running all the time, you know, until, you know, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And then they're gearing up at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. So they're really not having that downtime where they can do maintenance and stuff like that on them as much. So there could very well be, you know, something to that. I don't know, you know, and especially if they have, you know, budget cuts and things like that, because of the fact that they are doing so much construction and they're trying to, you know, find the budget somewhere, because of course they still have to keep profits up too. So very well could be something along those lines. I mean, we'll never know because we can't see the books, but it very well could be something along those lines.
That's right. Everybody discuss among yourselves here on a Wednesday.
Exactly.
Huddle
yes.
up. Huddle up. We'll meet together in
but
5 minutes.
But I agree with Joanne. You know, they are different work groups, construction versus maintenance. Like, they're different groups. They're separate groups. However, you know, you also may see that they may be spending the money in one spot a little more heavy-handed versus the other spot, too. So,
yeah, that's right.
You know,
all right.
You never know.
That's okay. So Margaret's up next. I think it's a great question for you, Ricky. The title is Late Arriving Fast Pass Strategies. Hi, we are planning our first trip to Walt Disney World since 2011. We're going in October, renting two cabins at Fort Wilderness. We have 9 people, including my 5 kids. They're ages 10 through 22. My parents, who are in their mid-70s, and my grumpy husband in me. Well, call him out there. I like it. Well, I mean, he's grumpy. He's a dwarf, right? I mean, he's
right.
Good.
There you go.
Good Disney touch there. I need my husband to rope drop with me and at least our 10-year-old because he carries the water bottles. Well, there you go. He's got a... That was me. That was me. Sometimes I'm grumpy and I carry junk. But, she says, I know that my parents will arrive to the parks around 11 a.m. at the earliest. Should I rope drop with my kids, those whom I can force to get up, you know, teenagers, and make fast pass for the group starting later in the day? Or do I make all the fast passes for the mornings for my kids and me, assuming that my parents will just tour on their own? Any tips for making 9 fast pass reservations? Thanks so much. You guys are awesome. I'm located 4,496 miles from Ricky, 4,132 from Mike, and 4,656 from Pam. I don't know where she didn't say where she's from. She's just far away.
Somewhere very far away.
Those are straight line air distance miles. Just thanks, Peggy. Oh, it's actually Peggy, not Margaret. So I'm all confused. I don't know where she's from. I don't know what her name is. It's Peggy in the signature. It's Margaret in the header. Who knows? Okay, so then she's got crazy questions. I don't know, because teenagers, you know, all I got to say is teenagers. So what would you do, Ricky? The grandparents or the parents aren't going to want to get up crack of dawn. She does. She's a hardcore Disney fan. Grumpy there doesn't want to do. He's carrying water bottles. He doesn't want to be there.
No,
you know, he just wants to ride rides. Probably wants to go ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, I would imagine. I don't know. What would you do? I mean, she's got to make fast passes for 9.
I would make the fast passes for the 9 once you think that everyone will be in the park. So, you know, maybe, you know, noon or 1 or whenever, you know, you think that the earliest that the family would get there. I think that you are going to be just fine with being able to hit attractions early in the morning without having fast passes. You know, obviously do the rides that either you don't have fast passes for later in the day or, you know, the ones that the family won't ride if you've got any of those. I would do that. But the lines are not like super, super terrible until you hit like 10, 11, you know, in the morning. So I think you're going to be just fine having the start time be around that 11, 12, 1 time period, because you're going to be able to hit all the attractions that you really want to hit early in the morning without terribly much of a wait.
And the beauty of FastPass is that you don't have to schedule all 9 people for the same FastPass. I mean, each person can individually have their own FastPass slate.
True.
Absolutely.
I know
you want to tour
together.
If you
wanted to ride together,
yeah,
you could.
Yeah. But I mean, especially, it sounds like she has some older teenagers. You know, I would say if you have kids, say 15 and, you know, all the way she set up 22, you know, maybe they get together and run a group of fast passes themselves and say, okay, we're going to meet for lunch, you know, and or, you know, a couple rides or something like that.
Absolutely. It's and hard apparently Peggy is a nickname for Margaret.
Okay, well, there you go. So it's probably the same person. Good. Okay, so we're not answering two people. All right. Nicole's got the next question live on the Facebook. How long is the walk from the backside of Epcot to Hollywood Studios? And is it safe to walk alone as a female on your own? So I would say it's about, what, Ricky, a 20-minute walk, maybe?
Yeah.
I ran it on Sunday, but hopefully I ran it faster than that because that was the end of the half marathon. But do you feel safe? I mean, it's I would say I'm not a female. I can't answer that. So what do you say?
I understand you're not a female. It depends on how late you're talking. I mean, you know, if it's still early, the parks are still open relatively, you know, whatever, I would feel absolutely comfortable. If it's like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, I would feel a little more leery. So, you know, it kind of depends on what time you are looking to, you know, make the walk from Hollywood Studios to Epcot and vice versa. So I felt comfortable, but then again, I've not always been with people. I've usually done it like during the day and stuff like that. So, I felt comfortable during the day. Like I said, when other people are walking on it, I usually feel okay. So.
Yeah. And I mean, I've run that path like early in the morning. I'm talking like 5 a.m. when it's still pitch dark, you know, and it's, there's still like usually
there's
people cutting the grass
and stuff.
Right?
And stuff. I mean,
yeah, there's light. Oh, yeah, there's light.
That time? Yeah.
But I mean, you won't see as many people. So I would say during the daylight hours, totally fine. I wouldn't even think twice about it. Even like as the park's closing, I mean, I'm just saying like maybe from like midnight.
Oh, she says middle
five.
Of the day. She's
oh,
fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally fine.
You're fine.
Totally fine. Yeah. I would say.
Yeah,
all right. Last question of the day from Matt. He says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a longtime listener, originally from Raleigh, North Carolina, but currently living in the Bay Area on the West Coast. I wanted to first say thank you for spreading the Disney magic with us these past 10 years. As someone that can only manage to make it to the world every few years, but is constantly planning his next trip, it means the world to have you three give out such consistent content. We appreciate that. And second, a special shout out to Jeanette from the Magic for Less, who most recently helped my mom and me on our Princess 5K vacation in February. It was our first race and my first Disney race, and we had a blast. Yeah, Jeanette's okay.
Yeah.
Jeanette kept me in line this whole weekend. I love Jeanette. She is amazing. And we helped embarrass Jocelyn. Anyway.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I'll tell you. I'll show you the video. My Ooh. Question is a thinker, and there may not be a great way to figure out the correct answer, but here it is. And it's bold. I know you can't see the emails, people, but he put this in bold. So, you know,
do
it has to
know
be
math?
Important.
No, is no, math involved?
I don't think so. Okay. All right, here we go. It's just two lines. Between the music played during attractions, parades, shows, streetmosphere, etc., which song do you get played? Do you think gets played the most throughout the entire world every day? Think of it another way. Which song could be playing in the most places at the same time at Walt Disney World? My money's on. Okay, here's his guess. Let It Go or Be Our Guest. We appreciate that. And he put ha. But my mom is leaning towards a classic like When You Wish Upon a Star. What's your take? Keep on rocking, Matt. He's 2,500 miles from Pam. All right, so that's a good question. Oh. I like this. I got to think. I should have read this one ahead of time.
Oh,
what
my gosh.
Song is played the most resort-wide? Even, like, I would say, like, in the hotels, because the hotels all play music,
okay.
too.
Okay. Hmm. All right. So he could be right with, like, a Frozen or, you know, something like that. You know, Let It Go. But you know where my brain kind of went? It went to two places. One is there is a first, before I really started thinking about it, there is a background loop that's played in Adventureland, and it's also played in Disney's Animal Kingdom, and it's kind of the drummy kind of adventure loop.
It's also played at Flame Tree.
Yeah. Yes. So like it's played a lot of places. So like I think that might be in the running. It's not something that a lot of people would think about, but it's definitely like as far as like music in the parks go, it's definitely played a lot. At first I thought When You Wish Upon a Star, but I honestly, you know what I would expect potentially that it could be, it could be something. So I think it would probably be something from the Disney Renaissance movie era. So that
you think
Little
I would
Mermaid.
Think something like When You Wish Upon a Star, a classic, like something in Peter Pan.
I was thinking, I was actually thinking something about like, something from The Lion King, because you've got the Animal Kingdom Lodge where you could potentially hear something Lion King. You've got all the songs that they sing at Festival of the Lion King. you guys, what they play at Animal Kingdom. I'm sure that there's Lion King background music. So I'm going to go with something from The Lion King. And I don't know what song it would be, but I would suspect maybe something from The Lion King. Like, when you really think about it, I don't know. I could be dead wrong.
This is such a hard question. Jack says, I love this one. And you might not know what he's talking about. Jack says, Behind the Waterfall. Now, if you don't know that, you hear that. Okay, so you hear that in the most Be Our Guest podcast episodes, because whenever I got a 5-minute spot I need to fill in, that is my favorite piece of music.
It's an awesome song.
And for the record, it's also always on Wedway Radio because Nate loves it too. So now that you know, listen, it's that one goes.
I love that song.
They play it on the train. I know that. They play it on the train at the Magic Kingdom. It's also in Tomorrowland. It's in the loop. It's all over the place. Yeah, it's a good call. You've probably heard it a million times. Didn't know that's what it's called.
Anyway, I love that song.
I do love that song. It's a great piece. It's by Vangelis, I think. There's a lot of albums with good stuff. So, Jack for the win. Yes. I don't have an answer, but we'll put this up on the Facebook page. People can.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what people think. Like,
yeah, we'll do that.
And the thought process that goes behind it, like my incredibly long thought process.
That was too long. People tuned out. Nobody's listening now. We went from like 150 viewers to 16 now. So
I know, right? Yeah.
All right. So, Ricky, schedule that post so we have that on Wednesday. So, come to the Facebook page. What do you think? What track is played most resort wide in different variations? I love that. At any time, there she goes, she's got the phone out, she's really doing it.
I'm ready to go, I'm scheduling it.
Don't knock us off the air. All right, so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna wrap up today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed the listener questions. We love doing this. I hope you can tell we have a good time. So thanks for dropping in, watching live, and for tuning in live here on a Wednesday. And send those questions again to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by friends over at virtualmickey.com. Ricky, put the phone down, because we're talking about a great free iOS app. It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. We might be talking about some of this stuff on Friday, but Ricky, what are we reading about today?
I mean, you are reading about, so let's do this one because it's the most, it's the one that you're going to have to be down there now in order to be able to take advantage of it. And it's through May 5th, Fairfax Fair on Sunset Boulevard is testing a breakfast menu. That's at Disney's Hollywood Studios. They're going to have the following breakfast items: oatmeal, scrambled eggs with chorizo, peppers, and onions, and potatoes, breakfast on a bun, freshly baked pastry basket, fresh fruit, yogurt, toasted bagels, and kids' scrambled eggs and potatoes. So I don't know if they're getting ready to test to see what kind of things might be good once Toy Story Land opens, and because they know that they're going to need breakfast items somewhere because there aren't a lot of places to get breakfast anymore at Hollywood Studios or what. But it's very interesting to find out that through May 5th, they are testing this menu.
So. Sounds good. All right. So these and other, you just want to be in the know. So when you're at the water cooler, you can say, guess Fairfax Fair serving breakfast.
I know. That's some stuff. That's hot news right there. I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah. That's a hot take.
That's a hot take.
People love it. People love
Nobody
it.
Nobody likes that.
Give the people what they want. Give the people what they want. And that will be a hot breakfast.
No, you freaked out so many people. Stop it.
That's it. Get ready to get the Bitmoji. All right. Anyway, so where were we? I totally forgot.
Know.
Anyway, that's our great sponsor, virtualmickey.com. Check them out today. And don't forget Amazon, our affiliate link. It helps support the show. It really does. So thanks to everybody who supports us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right. We are going to be back on Friday. Some news and notes. What's going on down at Walt Disney World? Some just general observations from my trip as well. Nothing that we're going to get into that's super duper important, because Pam's got to be here for the Universal stuff and some of the other things. But I'll give you some great observations from Walt Disney World right now about Coronado Springs, the Dark Side Half Marathon, some of my thoughts on that and so forth. So make sure you're back here on Friday. Take care of yourself until then. So for Pam, Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.